Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I realize in some cultures that translates to just men. It's usually fun to sometimes a baby cries from one side of the building and another one responds on the other side. So it's a call and response kind of thing, which is how we sing here in Africa. It's a chilly morning, right? So thank you guys for beating the temptation to stay in your blankets and joining us this morning. We really want to be a community that celebrates everything that God is doing, and we celebrate each other. And one of the things we really, really celebrate here is that the Beehive is part of our community. This is a group of a community of young mothers who God has rescued and God is healing, and they have people who are loving and serving them just relentlessly. And one of those social workers is getting married, I believe, in the coming week. Patricia, your girls want you to know that they love you and they appreciate you and they're excited for you as you get married. So, and we celebrate you as Trinity Vineyard. Bill, when I am getting married, that's your job. Wow, Bill. Yeah. I mean, all truth is true, but is all truth supposed to be said out loud? Anyway, so don't do that. Anyway, so yeah. So we're trying to wrap our minds around this. We started a series around the kingdom of God, and I've been trying to invite us to this idea that the kingdom of God is about the reign and the rule of God, the authority of Jesus Christ. So it's not necessarily about a geographical area. It's about the reign, the rule, the authority, and the power of God. And so Jesus enters the scene preaching that the kingdom of God is at hand. And last week we looked at the challenge we often have of expecting way too little. Yeah, God is inviting us to so much more. God was inviting the nation of Israel to and us to so much more, but we often just want to expect very little. And just to recap all that, the idea of the kingdom of God had grown in the community of Israel for quite a while. They had experienced glory days when King David was king, when Solomon was king. They were wealthy, it was peaceful, and God was with them. And then it started going downhill from there. And they started looking forward to when that would be restored. When the kingdom would be restored. They were looking for their glory days. But alongside this idea came the prophecy that when the kingdom of God comes, it'll be more than just an Israel-centric kingdom. It'll be about God himself coming to reign. It'll be about God becoming king and his kingdom being set up and taking over the entire world. So they were expecting a savior king from the house of David. But alongside this hope grew the expectation that this king would be divine, that this king would be God's own king. So they were actually expecting the kingdom of God. So where's the problem when Jesus comes to the scene? Because Jesus comes to the scene and declares that, hey guys, everything you've been expecting is right here. But then the political leaders of Israel reject him. The religious leaders of Israel reject him. And even some people just within the nation just grew kind of skeptical. Like, I would be excited if you come and told me everything you've been hoping for is finally here. All you need to do is take this. Why were they skeptical? What was happening here? You know, generally they were in need of hope, which was what Jesus was giving them. Generally they were in need of restoration. And Jesus kept saying that, hey, the promised time is now. So why would they reject Jesus? Generally, they were in need of good news. But they weren't sure if this news Jesus was talking about was just too good. You see, I think the good news of the kingdom of God is too good, and it's true. And that is what they had a bit of a problem with. So here goes another excerpt of from the story of the life of Jesus. So Jesus went around teaching the same message, and this time he was in his hometown of Galilee. And this is what it says. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe this good news. The time has come. Why? Because they were expecting that at some time, at some coming time, God would restore the kingdom. And Jesus is saying, hey, the time has now come. Repent and believe this good news, because the kingdom of God is at hand or near. So some translations say, repent and believe the gospel, or Jesus was in Galilee preaching the gospel. And I just want to say something small about that word gospel. Today, it's almost exclusively a church word, but it never used to be a church word. It was a political term. It was a term that Caesar would use to spread propaganda. He would say, you know, they would declare the gospel of Caesar when he wants to claim or tell people that he has conquered a new place. And people would go throughout the city proclaiming the gospel of Caesar, who was emperor, greater than a king. And so isn't it interesting that when they start talking about Jesus, they use this word? They aren't using a religious term. They were using street language. Why? Because they really believed, one, Jesus is king, and that's why they're using a language that kings use. And two, they wanted to make sure that everyone understood it, not just the religious people. You see, I think if the church has good news, it has to be good news to the whole world. And I think it is so important for us to always communicate the good news of Jesus Christ in a language that the world will understand. It can't just be something only the church hears. And so that means we have to look at what words we use. If some words have become strictly church language, then how are we declaring good news to the world? In their time, they were very particular about this. And they used language that was street language to say, hey guys, here is the gospel of the kingdom of God. You know? So I think it's about, let's investigate our language. What words are we using? The things of God, the things God is doing among us and in this city and in the world are already too incredible. The church doesn't have to add anything weird. Think about it. We don't have to add anything weird. It's already too incredible that people are getting healed. So you don't have to change your voice when you pray for the sick. It's already mind-blowing. So they don't need to go, like, wait. The world is already staring in amazement. So we can just be normal. We can just be accessible to the world, you know? It's already crazy enough when you go to someone and share something that no one else would have known if they hadn't told you. And this is what in church language you call words of knowledge. And often when the Holy Spirit reveals things, it's for encouragement for that other person, just trying to show them that God loves you, God loves them, God knows that their situation and God is speaking into it. It's already crazy enough when you share with someone something that only they knew. So you don't have to add anything weird. So you can use your same voice, okay? And you can go with your name. You don't have to go with, I am Apostle so-and-so, and the Lord has sent me to you. Trust me, it's already crazy enough that you know something no one else knew. The good news is so good, we have to make sure we communicate it in a way that the world understands. Anyway, back to the story. That wasn't what we were talking about. Okay, so Mark says that Jesus goes around preaching the good news, and he was preaching that the kingdom of God is near. And so, if the church has any other, if the church has any message to be preaching to the world, it is the same message Jesus was preaching: that the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe. And there's that word, repent, which is sometimes problematic. You see, all of us have, most of us, have encountered that word, and often it is in the context of, hey, you've been, again, cultural things, you've been a jerk, you've been a terrible person, you've been silly, now you need to be very sorry, you need to feel terrible, you need to change. That's often how we, the context in which we encounter the word repent, right? Like, you're a terrible person. And you need to kneel down and say 15 prayers a day, and then maybe God will forgive you. But you see, that's not the context in which Jesus was using this word, repent. The word repent in this context was change the frame of mind, change your frame of mind or feeling, or change the principle or practice. This is what Jesus is talking about. So I want to replace that word with this phrase. So in the excerpt we just read, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Change your frame of mind and believe the good news. It makes a difference, doesn't it? Change your frame of mind and believe the good news. But why change the frame of mind? You see, there's a lot about our mindsets and attitudes and things we put up that often keep us away from the things God is doing. That God could be moving around us, but because of our attitudes, our mindsets, and the principles by which we live life, we are unable to see or participate in things of the kingdom of God. You know, let's look at a few that we've encountered so far. So Jesus went back home right after his baptism. He went back to his hometown in Galilee. He was invited to speak in the synagogue. He opened up the scrolls, and by divine providence, they were reading from Isaiah 61, which is about this Messiah that the nation of Israel had been waiting for. And then Jesus tells them, listen, guys, everything you've been waiting for, the time has come. That time you've been expecting, it's now, and I am the one. What do they say? All those who were watching and listening were surprised at how well he spoke. But they said, isn't this Joseph's son, the one we've known since he was a boy? In other words, they were saying, we know your mother, we know your father, we know all the drama in your family. You cannot be the one. So here is a mindset. Here is a mindset that, yeah, you're saying something beautiful, but it couldn't be you. So the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is right in front of them. But why can they be part of it? A mindset that it couldn't be someone we know. It couldn't be the king we're waiting for. Couldn't be the son of a carpenter whose mom had a story that we're not too sure. You know, it couldn't be. Well, let's be honest. I'm sure so many people doubted Mary's story, right? Like, hey guys, so an angel came. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've heard of those many angels, you know, sorry guys. But that's exactly what's happening here. Why can't they partake of the kingdom of God? A mindset. Something is standing in the way. Here's another interesting thing that was happening. You'd expect that the people who spent almost 3.5 years with Jesus would have gotten the plot, right? Jesus kept saying, hey guys, it's not about Israel. That's a paraphrase. He kept saying that the kingdom of God has come to the whole world. He did his ministry outside of Israel with people Israel would never have associated with. He kept saying that this is going beyond Israel. And then Jesus dies, and he's risen from the dead, and he's giving his final instructions to his disciples. We all know how final instructions are important. They're a big deal, right? If a father is traveling and he's giving final instructions, people listen, right? Or if someone is dying and they're writing a will or they're saying what, people listen. So this is the kind of situation they're in. Jesus has died and he's risen again, and they believe that this is the Messiah. And he's giving them the final instructions. And then these guys just go, when they were together, this is in Acts 1:6, when they were together for the last time, they asked, Master, are you going now to restore the kingdom to Israel? Is this the time? Come on! How many times does Jesus have to say it's not about Israel? What's happening? And so Jesus goes on to tell them, that's not your business. Timing is not your business. Your business is to declare this good news in Jerusalem, Judea, and the rest of the world. If they didn't change their mindset, they would have missed out on something beautiful that God was doing in the whole world. Here we are sitting down because the kingdom of God is at hand. Here we are gathered as family because the kingdom of God is at hand. And these 12 were the seed of what we celebrate today. But in order to participate in what God was doing, they had to get it out of their mindset that it was about restoring the kingdom to Israel. But you know, so many in Israel had this idea that it's about them, that they were unable to participate in what the kingdom of God was up to. Mindsets. So this is why the invitation was, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. The kingdom of God is at hand. Change how you think about these things and believe this good news. One last one. You know, the nation of Israel had strongly believed that when the kingdom, when God's king comes, this will mark the end of the world as we know it. They had this apocalyptic idea about it, that history as we know it will have come to an end. You know? So let's look at another interesting story. You know, Jesus just went around teaching, and every time people who were suffering were brought in front of him, he was moved by compassion. He was moved by compassion. Sometimes he was in front of a very big crowd, or he was walking somewhere and there's a big crowd following him, and he would stop for one person. Moved by compassion. He's one of those stories. Next, a poor demon-afflicted wretch, both blind and deaf, was set before him. Jesus healed him, gave him his sight and hearing. The people saw and were impressed and wondered, this has to be the son of David. Okay, so there you can see that the expectation they had was that this Messiah king, that this Davidic king would come with the power of God to heal the sick, to restore sight to the blind, to restore hearing to the deaf. So that's why when Jesus kept declaring these things, and he was healing the sick and setting people who were oppressed by demons free, some of them genuinely wondered, oh, could this be the son of David? Could this be the guy we've been waiting for? And I just want to comment on a bit of that story. I am actually convinced that sometimes people are oppressed by unclean spirits. I know some of us want to move away from that idea, and it sounds like, oh, the pastor is so archaic. I'm a bit archaic in that sense. I actually believe that sometimes we're sick because a mosquito bit you, or it was just too cold. In Kenya, we believe that if you get cold, you're gonna, if you take ice cream and it's cold, you're going to get tonsillitis. And it always happens, right? Try buy ice cream right now and you're Kenyan. Sometimes it's just biology, right? But sometimes it's demonic oppression. Either way, God heals and God sets free. Either way, whatever it is, God heals and God sets free. And so this is one of those places where Jesus had just healed someone who's being oppressed by evil spirits, and some of them are genuinely beginning to consider the idea that this could be the king that they had been waiting for. But look at how the story continues. But the Pharisees, when they heard the report, were cynical. Black magic, they said. Some devil trick he's pulled from up his sleeves. Some translations actually say he must be possessed himself by the prince of demons himself to set people free. Okay, the whole nation had this expectation that when the king, the Davidic king, comes back, when the kingdom is supposed to be restored, that God's power will be on the Messiah to actually do the kind of things Jesus is doing. So that they have no problem with. They expect that when the Messiah comes, God's power will be upon him to do the kind of things that Jesus is doing. But something is keeping them from even daring imagine that this could be the kingdom of God moving. So they come up with an excuse. Oh, come on, that must be black magic. He must have gone to Nigeria for a few weeks. They doubted that God. Why? Because one, they didn't expect that Jesus would be anything. They know his story. They know that he had no place to sleep and he was just walking around with his 12 disciples. There was nothing particularly significant about him. So they wouldn't expect that it would be Jesus. But the other thing is, they didn't expect that the time was then. They didn't expect that surely the end of the world as they know it had come. They didn't expect that the kingdom of God was breaking through in that time, in that season. And let me, you know, we've all grown up with ideas of what the kingdom of God would look like. We've all grown up with ideas of another phrase for the same is the kingdom of heaven. And I'm sure that a lot of us who believe in heaven, or at some point believed in heaven, for those who abandoned the idea, mostly believed that it only happens after you die, right? That when I die, I will go to this place called heaven. So there's a time thing associated with our ideas of the kingdom of God. Some of us have lost people we loved. And in those painful moments, we have a bit of comfort saying, well, now he's no longer in pain. Now he's fully at rest. Now he's at peace. Now she's at peace. Why? Because we expect that after death, we enter into this thing called the kingdom of heaven, where there's no pain and there's no sorrow and we are made whole again. And that is partly true. That is partly true. That there is a longing for what is to come. There's a longing for peace that is to come. There's a longing for healing that is to come. That it is partly true that there is a point where death will have lost its sting, that we shall shed no more tears, and that there will be no fear, and that it will just be celebration. Now, imagine everything you are waiting for then happening right now. It's too incredible, isn't it? Yes, it's too incredible that some of us are just fighting the idea. No, that could never happen now. Yes, the news of the kingdom of God is too good, and it's true. And they were struggling with the idea that it couldn't be now. It couldn't be now that God was doing these things. That's why part of Jesus' message was, the time is now. Because they didn't expect it at that moment. And if you add the idea that it's this Jesus guy talking about it, their minds would not allow them to accept that the kingdom of God was on the move. So Jesus had to invite them, repent and believe. Repent and believe. The idea that God, the powers of the age to come, the idea that the life of the age to come, the joy of the age to come, the healing of the age to come can be experienced right now is so incredible that it takes a change of how you think about these things to experience it. The kingdom of God is within reach. The kingdom of God is accessible. The kingdom of God is right in front of you. Change your mind. Abandon ideas and attitudes that keep you saying, it couldn't be now. It couldn't be them. It couldn't be him. It couldn't be me. Change those attitudes that keep you from experiencing the invitation you're being given. And our narratives influence a lot of our attitudes, right? And I want us to investigate our narratives and find out the places in our narratives that come in opposition to the idea that God could be here with us today. I want us to investigate our narratives and find out where our narratives are saying, well, that's a great story. That would be a great idea, but surely not him. Surely not me. Surely not today. Surely not that way. Those are the places God is inviting you to repent. To change your mind, to change your attitude, to change how you think about these things. The good news of the kingdom of God is too good, but could it be him? Could Jesus be the only way? The kingdom of God is too good, but maybe not for me. How can I be forgiven of all these things I've done? How can I be forgiven of this one thing? God is inviting you, hey, change your mind. Change your mind. It's too incredible and it's true. The news of the kingdom of God is too good, but surely, are those people part of it? Sorry, I didn't put. So this just happened. It just happened. Are you? Yes, you are part of it. Anyway, the kingdom of God is too good, but could those people be part of it? Could they? But they dress like this, they act like, they speak like this. Yes, it's too good that everyone is invited in. Change how you think about these things. Repent and believe this good news. The kingdom of God is, the news of the kingdom of God is too good, but could it be now, really? Those things only happened when Jesus was around and when his first 12 apostles were walking around. But that's it. Now we have to wait for heaven. Repent. Change how you think about these things. Dare step into that space. Jesus is inviting us to change our minds and dare believe that the kingdom of God is right here. It's within our reach, that the time is now. So let's investigate our narratives. You know, our national cultures, our tribal cultures, you know, sometimes, you know, we see ourselves as Kenyans or South Africans or Americans or British, and sometimes those identities and the mindsets they put us in are in opposition to the invitation of the kingdom of God. You can see that with the nation of Israel. They strongly believed it's Israel or not. So sometimes our identities keep us from that. You know? What about being Luo or you being Kikuyu is keeping you from accepting that the kingdom of God is right here, right now? You know, let's take for an example. The world has this sickening idea of scarcity, and it's a mindset, it's a mind frame, and it plays itself out in different ways in different countries. One of the ways it plays out in Kenya is corruption, right? And I know so many things influence that, but we are not so sure that because the kingdom of God is present, that God will and can and is willing to provide, so we push our own way through. But what if God is inviting you to provision in the kingdom of God, but you need to change your mind? You need to change your mind and trust that He will, and trust that there is enough. What if our political ideologies? What about our political ideologies are standing in opposition to the invitation of the kingdom of God? Everywhere, the kingdom of God is confronting and embracing every culture. Okay? So everywhere we find that the message of the kingdom of God is confronting our ideas and the things we hold on to, the invitation is, will you repent? Will you change your mind? Will you change how you think about these things? Our religious narratives. You know, even atheists, even those who don't believe that God is there, are living out a religious narrative. And that mindset, obviously, determines how they think and how they do things. And some of you, maybe the invitation is, what if that idea is standing right in the place of you experiencing what God is inviting you to? And you see, just like what was happening in the story we just read, sometimes people are seeing exactly everything that God is doing. It's right in front of their eyes. But because of the mindset that they have embraced, they just can't embrace it. They can't walk into what God is doing. Sometimes it is church culture. You know, when we tell ourselves that we have to shout really hard for God to move, when we tell ourselves that maybe God doesn't move anymore, so we have to investigate even church culture and ask ourselves what in our culture is keeping us from embracing the invitation to the kingdom of God. Sometimes believers buy into the idea of disappointment. I prayed, it didn't happen. And it becomes a totally new mindset. Well, maybe for them. Well, maybe. We just buy into disappointment and it becomes a totally new mindset. And what is the invitation? Change your mind and believe. You know? So when you see people engaged in worship passionately and overcome by the presence of God, because you could always come up with an excuse. You could say, well, I think that's mass hysteria. Or you could change your mind and dare to experience what God is doing. When you hear of people getting healed, you could always come up with an excuse and say, well, maybe they weren't sick in the first place. Or you could change how you think about these things and experience the kingdom of God. When we hear people getting words of knowledge, we go, well, that's just a coincidence. Or you could change your mind, you could change how you think about these things and experience the kingdom of God. The good news of the kingdom of God is that the time is now. The kingdom of God is within your reach. It is right here. It is right in front of you. Everything we always keep for then. Everything we always keep for, oh, when I enter into heaven. And some of that is true. There is a fulfillment that will only come when we see God face to face. Yet what Jesus was declaring is that that life that we expect then has just invaded our current reality today, and it is accessible, it is possible. God is moving right here, right now. You need to change your mind and step into this reality. I want to tell one last story as the band comes back on stage. One day there was a boy who had been so oppressed by evil spirits from birth, and it troubled his family like it would trouble any family, right? Because he'd been having convulsions right from birth, and at this point he was a much older boy, and it just broke his father's heart. And so a group of people took him to Jesus. And Jesus asked, how long has this been going for? And the parents answered, well, since he was born. And if you can do anything about it. Because they had heard about the things Jesus had done, right? And they said, and if you can do anything about it, please, please do. And Jesus said, well, yes. I'm willing. Everything is possible. And the father had a hard time accepting this. And he made a very interesting statement. He said, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. You know, and sometimes we have to be honest that we are in that place of unbelief. And it's okay. It's okay. I think towards the end of last year, I just had a terrible, I think I'd been traveling, I came back, I was just exhausted, so I had a bit of a burnout, which can come in a place of a mini depression. I was in a terrible state. And I had never felt more doubtful about everything in my life like that time. I had never known what depression feels like. And again, it wasn't the clinical, because I don't want to make light of things people are struggling with. But I was in a terrible space. I had no joy. And I was listening to this song, and it says, all my fears and doubts, they can come too, because they won't stay long. So here is my invitation. It's okay if you're in a place where you're not too sure. Yes, they can come too. It's the invitation to make this prayer that, Lord, help my unbelief. The invitation to repent and change our minds. And maybe you're right there. You want to, but it's like, but I don't know how to. The invitation is we can make this prayer today that, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. So I want to invite you to stand in the communion service to take the bread and the cup. So this is our response time, and I want you to respond to God